I want to use what may be perceived as a big word, but it's a really good word financially, and that is reconciliation. That word is reconciliation. And I want to tie that tonight into assets. And I have a whole teaching on this, but I just want to give you kind of a tidbit of this tonight. Now, reconciliation from the standpoint that I am talking about tonight will provide saving tips. Now, this process shares your financial activity for, let's say, a month, and it provides sensitive, detailed data that will steer you away from activities that are detrimental to your business or even to your person. When I say that is, reconciliation does for you, when you go back and check over what you have done, it helps you save because it gives you an idea of how many things you did that you may not have to necessarily have done. And you can take that money and you say, you know, I got $5 or $50, whatever the case may be, in fast food that I could really take and save and put it toward the vehicle that I desire, put it toward, increasing my giving in church or whatever the case may be. Here's the serious piece behind it. If you don't know, you won't be able to correct it. So the way that you really correct it is by knowing exactly what you're doing, which means you reconcile for the month what you have spent. When you do that, you govern yourself accordingly, which means you take a good, sincere look at what you have done, and most of the time you'll be able to find places where you can save, and then you use that process to get rid of activity that keeps you from achieving what your said goal is. That is very important, and I pray that when you look at what you reconcile, make that become for you an asset, those things that are a detriment. Turn them into assets, and you will begin to live a more financially fruitful life, and it will remove a lot of the stress that people endure from living week to week, and it will help them have what we call that nest egg, so that when you have that rainy day, you'll be able to just have funds to apply to that rainy day versus the stress that comes from it, trying to figure out where to pull it from. And that's basically Pastor Riddick, the finance tip that I wanted to start with, unless you want me to go on.
No, I think that was good. I think it was good. Okay. Just kind of opening, I'm looking now, and we have about 12, 13 people on the call, and I want to just kind of open up and ask if there are any questions about that particular idea on reconciliation. If there are any questions, only a few of us on now, so you can definitely ask that question openly. Okay. All right. If there are none, I want to say thank you again for that tip. And what we actually have in the middle of this mastermind session, probably about week five, is there'll be another mastermind that will be strictly on finances. And so every so often you'll get leadership tips. But one of the things that's taking place, multiple masterminds on different topics. So you guys are doing leadership. There'll be one on finance. There'll be another one starting on personality assessments. And so we'll talk about different personalities that exist. And you always want to know what personalities you're dealing with, because you'll deal with that in every session. What we're going to do now, though, is we're going to transition into our computable laws. And so first we'll get just about 7 minutes of conversation and summary of the first law. So if you have your worksheets, you can go ahead and pull that out. The information you're going to get from John Maxwell will not be on the worksheet. It'll be an overview. When he finishes talking about this first law, then what we'll do is we'll start going over our worksheet. Here is John Maxwell now.
Hi, this is John Maxwell, and I want to take a moment to personally welcome you on this exciting journey of becoming a coach or a speaker, and I'm so glad we're on the team together. And I have a great desire, along with the rest of my team, to really add value to you. Our desire is to teach you principles that will be life-changing, not only for you, but as you pass on to others. And when I do teaching on leadership and try to help develop leaders, I inevitably go to a book that I wrote a few years ago called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. Of all the books that I've written on leadership, this has been the most popular, and literally in 47 different languages has been taught, and people have been trained by it. And we want the very best for you because we want the very best in your life. And so I want to take a few minutes today and just talk to you about three of the laws of leadership. Three laws that if you understand them correctly and follow them and, hey, obey the laws, you will be successful as a leader. The first law is the law of the lid, which basically says our leadership determines the level of our effectiveness. Now, there's not one law more important than the other laws, and yet I put this law first because if I can do a good job for the next couple of minutes teaching it to you, you'll begin to have a passion to learn the other 20 laws. Why? Because this law basically says how well you lead determines how successful you are. Now, perhaps the best way for me to teach this law is to visually demonstrate it to you. So let me use my hands as an example, and let's say that this hand represents my leadership ability. This is how well John Maxwell leads, and this hand represents my business. Hey, for you, my coaching business, my speaking business, the things that we're going to work together to help increase your influence and your skills and your abilities. Now, if this hand represents how well I lead, okay, this is my leadership lid, and this hand represents my business, my coaching, my speaking. Here's what I know about my business. It will go up to my leadership lid, but it will rise no higher. In other words, whatever my leadership skills and ability would be at this moment, they will put a lid upon my business potential, my coaching potential, my speaking potential. Here's what has never happened in the history of mankind. In the history of mankind, there has never been an organization, a company, a group that had a leadership lid of which their business passed their leadership skills and effectiveness and continued to grow and continued to prosper, and their leadership was at this level and their business and their success was at this level. It's impossible. It's never happened anywhere. It's not going to happen to you. It's never going to happen to me. It's not going to happen. So what am I saying? I'm saying that whatever your leadership lid is right now, whatever my leadership lid is right now, whatever it is. Hi, this is John Maxwell, and I want to take a moment to personally welcome you on this. Anywhere, it's not going to happen to you. It's never going to happen to me. It's not going to happen. So what am I saying? I'm saying that whatever your leadership lid is right now, whatever my leadership lid is right now, whatever it is, it literally is the lid on my potential. In other words, I am only going to be as successful as my ability to lead. I cannot lead any more people than I can influence. So, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? It means very simply that, first of all, there's a lid on our potential, and that lid is our leadership. What it also means is that for us to increase our potential, to be a better coach, to be a better speaker, to be more successful in life, what we have to do is we have to increase or raise our leadership lid. So let's go back to the illustration. If from a 1 to a 10, let's say I'm an average leader, I'm a 5. What that means is my business is a 4. Now my business is a 4. No matter what state I'm in, no matter what company I'm with, no matter what organization I belong to, it's a 4 because my leadership lid contains my success. It won't allow my business to grow beyond it. But here's the good news. You can learn to lead. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I'm coming on this journey with you. I want to be with you to help you increase your potential, and have skills that can increase and advance that will give you an unlimited, beautiful future. So, if my leadership lid is a 5, my coaching business is a 4, how can I become a better coach? How can I expand my speaking business? It's very simple. I have to raise my leadership lid from a 5 to a 6 to a 7, maybe to an 8. Now, what happens when I raise the lid on my leadership? Now my business has potential to grow, and my business goes from a 4 to a 5 to a 6 to a 7. In other words, my business will follow my leadership skills. Now, the number one question I'm asked is, people will raise their hand, they'll say, John, are leaders born? Now, when they ask this question, I always laugh, and I'm a little amused by the question. When they ask me, are leaders born, I always give them the same answer. I'll give you the same answer. Of course they are. I've never met an unborn leader, and I don't particularly want to either. Thank you very much. You see, what they're really asking is not, are leaders born? Of course leaders are born. Non-leaders are born. We're all born. What they're really asking is, are there some people that are born with leadership gifts and abilities and they've got it, and there are some people that they are born with none and so they don't got it. And if you got it, you lead. And if you don't got it, you follow. Well, I have good news for you. You can learn to lead. The reason I know that is for many decades now, and for 40 years now of teaching leaders and teaching leadership and raising up leaders, I have taught and I have seen people who had very few, very limited leadership skills and abilities really began to grow because I taught them the law of the lid and I taught them how to raise their lid. I taught them that leadership is influence, and the ability to influence people is a result of adding value to people. And anyone can learn to intentionally add value to others. And so therefore, anyone can learn to influence more people. And influencing more people gives you a greater leadership lid. So here's what I know. If you're going to be successful in life, the first place you work on to help yourself really grow and develop is in the area of your leadership. And the moment that you begin to expand and grow and develop your leadership lid, all of a sudden, your coaching business, your speaking business, whatever business you're in, will begin to follow and begin to grow also. That is the law of the lid.
Oh, my gosh. You guys have no idea. I've been talking for like 20 minutes with my phone on mute. Can we do a roll call real quick to make sure everybody can still hear? Sherelle, are you still on?
Yes, I'm still here.
I see Drew Joyner still on.
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
Yolanda Powell, you still on?
Yes, I'm here.
I got a 252-3373 number still on.
Still on.
8765 number still on.
Still on.
5868 still on.
Yes.
Okay. I got 0161-259-89433-7220-6888. I'm assuming everybody else is still on. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Let me kind of pick back up where we started. That was Rollins' fault. He started that talking with the mute button on, so I thought I'd try it.
No doubt about that.
Right. Listen, the first thing I want to talk about real quick, I'm going to kind of go through that quickly. We all learned just old views of the laws. Again, if you get the book or you get some more information, you'll find that each law goes in depth. What we want to do is just kind of scuff the surface. We're going to discuss how to live out the law, because learning it is one thing, but actually putting it in application is going to be totally different. And then we're going to talk about how each of us can lead others to the law. One of the best things that John teaches is leadership is influence. And you can do a whole lot on your own. You can even be successful without leadership. The idea, though, is that you want to be a good leader and be successful. People who are successful but not good leaders have a way of building great organizations, building great ministries, having great exploits. But when they are no longer capable of carrying out the assignment, when their money runs short, when they age, or when they hit some form of disability, everything they've invested their time, energy, and resource in becomes dormant because they weren't leaders. Leaders always have some other group or some other persons behind them, with them, and around them, so that when they are no longer able to carry out the assignment, the mission still is accomplished, the business still goes on, the ministry still lives, because you not being there doesn't mean that things won't get done, because you have effectively led others to be able to carry out your assignment. So, you know, with that being said, one of the things we're pushing is, with everything we talk about, everything we learn, that you really want to, you know, share it with somebody else. Which brings us to the first law, and that's really the law of the lid. Simply put, you could not go any farther than what you know. So one of the great things about, you know, every person that's on this call is that everyone has a different vocation, people have different skills, and you never want to limit yourself to just people that are like you or the people that you like. Whenever you limit yourself to the people that are like you and the people that you like, what you inevitably do is you place a lid on both your learning and how high you can go. So one of the things you do to increase your lid is you intentionally surround yourself with people who have like minds but different gifts, different skills. They are in different circles than you are. Their vocation may be nothing like your vocation, but the things you guys do can often complement each other. And what that does is that begins to, one, increase not only your leadership, but it lifts your lid higher. So if you're weak in finances, you need to hook up with somebody who is strong in finances. If you don't do a lot of database, then maybe you need to hook up with somebody who does. If you're afraid of computers and this conference call was already challenging enough on the tech side, then you might need to hook up with somebody who does something on the tech side. But the idea for many of us is that we often hire people and connect with people that are so similar to us that we live in these self-created bubbles where our lid is always lowered. The goal for Law 1 is to intentionally do things that raise your lid. On the top of page 2, the statement is read, whatever you accomplish will be restricted or propelled by your ability to lead others. And when we talk about leading others, it's not just leading people like you, it's leading people that are unlike you. Most of the time when you try to find somebody that will be a mentoree or someone that you'll coach or someone you'll lead, you try to find people like you and then you try to develop what's in them that's like you. What we're saying is good leadership is your ability to bring the best out of any person, even if they are drastically different from you, because what that does is it causes your lid to be lifted. That next blank on page 2 says, how do we live out the understanding of the law of the lid? Well, a couple things you'll do. We won't take time to do it now. But you actually go through this and write down what your number is. And so what you'll see is a chart with a list of attributes. There's character, charisma, commitment, communication, and so on. And I did for you to really just kind of go through that and decide, where are you? Where are you on the list? Or what are you good at? Now, most people will go through and put 10s on all of it because everybody thinks that they have everything all together. So the first thing I want to tell you, if you have 10s on all of this, you lied to yourself. Don't do it. Be honest. Be honest about what you are good at and what you aren't. In fact, in a mastermind, what we ask everyone to do when we're actually on site is we ask everyone to do it, and then we ask everyone to find someone that you know and have them fill out that same chart about you. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. You know, find a friend or maybe a spouse or maybe a coworker, and have them fill out that same sheet, that same chart, and see what numbers they place that are different than the numbers you place. It's not tonight's lesson, but this is a guy who talks about the Johari window. And the Johari window is this idea that there are aspects of all of us that we don't know about each other. Matter of fact, you could probably look that up. It's the Johari window, J-O-H-A-R-I. And in the Johari window, there are places where you know things about you. There are places where people know things about you. Then there's a place where people know things about you that you don't know. And then there's a place where there are things about you that you don't know and people don't know. And a lot of times our leadership is hinged upon what we think about ourselves, when really leadership is really going to be a combination of what you think about you and what other people think about you. So when you get some time, definitely go through that chart. Add that up, divide it by 20, and what you have is an idea of where you are on the leadership scale. As you go through it, the bottom of page 3 talks about different things you can actually do to increase and raise your lid. We're going to talk about a few of those, and then we're going to try to go on to law 2. The first thing they have on the list is valued experience with reflection. One of the things that we often teach in church settings is the idea of having a daily devotional or some type of nighttime devotional. In church, what we do is we talk about spending time with God because God helps kind of show us the way, teach us things, He speaks to us. There is an idea that you can do that with yourself, that at the end of a day, at the end of a week, at the end of a month, what you do is you literally take time reflecting on what has happened in your life, what happened to you that day, what conversations did you have, what places did you go, what people did you meet, what coffee did you spill, who did you bump into that you were trying to walk away from, at what time did you tear your stocking? I mean, just anything. And what happens is when you take time to have self-reflection on every experience, it causes you to have to both wonder and ask questions about your life. And every question you ask about your life automatically opens up a window for you to find answers. Age-old idea. You will never find answers if you never ask questions. And a lot of times we can live life, we can go through days, we can have good businesses, we can seem successful without ever evaluating how we became successful. Likewise, you can fail, make mistakes, and never recoup from them, doing them over and over again, because you never really stop to ask yourself, why did that happen, how did it happen? So the first idea about raising the lid is really just kind of have some self-reflection where at the end of some time period, day, week, month, you kind of step back and say, okay, what happened, why did it happen, how did it happen, should that happen again, how can I avoid that? The guy who leads this John Maxwell team, a guy named Paul Martinelli, he teaches this component where he suggests that every person can take their current income and multiply it by 12. That's his boast. His boast is that any person who does anything, if you give me an hour with you and your business plan, I can multiply your income by 12. And this is what he does. He takes what you do now. He goes through this intense reflection of experience process where he says, okay, this is what you do. He asks you many questions about it. At the end of the questions, he comes up with a way for you to do in 1 month whatever you did all year long. So, for instance, whatever you did in business all of 2012, his suggestion is we can take what you did in 1 year and figure out how to do that in 1 month. So in 2013, you do every month what you did all of last year. Coincidentally, it causes your income to go up by 12 because now your 1 year income is now smashed into 1 month. His theory is that if you can do it once, then you can do it multiple times if you really understand how you did it. And what we're saying is good leadership is your ability to go back and really have some type of reflection on what you've done. If I could be even more practical with that for businesses, churches, ministries, and even your personal life, after every event that you had, there should be some type of survey. Some survey should be in the packet that asks questions about what people thought about the speakers, what people thought about the event, was it clean, were your greeters hospitable, because your next event won't ever be better than your last event if you don't know what happened at your last event. So, again, you want to make sure that you have some value reflection on every experience. The second thing he talks about is invest in training. So, one, you know, you guys are doing a call, which we really appreciate because it helps grow all of us. But then also, you know, make some financial investment into what you do. I remember in college, we had this great idea. We were doing this college conference, and I was talking to my father, telling him we were doing it, and we were only charging $1. You know, it was college students. We didn't want to wear everybody out. It was Crown Ministries, Activating Your Anointing Conference. We had college kids from everywhere coming to this, what we thought was a great conference, and we were only charging $1. Presented it to him. You know, he's our covering, ministry covering. He's my father. I'm excited about it. And he looked at it, and he said, is that all your conference is worth? And I had to stop and think about it because in my mind, charging $1 was a way to get people there. In his mind, the dollar amount placed on the conference actually told everybody how much it was worth. He says, if it was me, I wouldn't go to a conference that only cost $1 because I would only expect a dollar's worth of information from it. And I would probably use, you know, that same idea with you, obviously not word for word, but if you don't ever put anything into training, then it's probably safe to say you won't ever get any good training. Now, of course, there's always some overpriced gimmick that's out there trying to take your money, you know, to teach you something. But if you're going to be better at something, you want to spend both the time and the money to be good at it. People argue that education is expensive, but education used properly, you know, would give you great benefit. And so I don't agree that it should be as expensive, but I do agree that there should be some cost because information is much more valuable than any tangible idea. And you know, it's the age-old story that if you give a man a fish, you know, he'll eat for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you eat for a lifetime. Our principle is, you know, teach a man to fish, you eat for a lifetime. Our principle is teach a man to own the lake. Because if he owns the lake, then not only can he fish, he can help other people learn how to fish. And that only happens when you make the big investment. And that's what we want to invite each of you to do. You know, make some investment into your learning. Buy some CDs. Buy a book on audio. Buy a book and read it. Reading seems to be extinct except for text messages, but you got to read. The third thing is hook up with mentors and coaches. One principle is you should always have somebody, if you can visualize it, that is both under you and above you. Somebody that's on your level. Somebody that's under you, above you, and on your level. The person under you, obviously it's not a demeaning thing, but the person under you is the person that you're always pouring into, the person you're always teaching, the person you're always talking to, the person that you're always challenging. You should have somebody on your level, some peer person who shares with you. You're probably doing the same things. You're in the same places. You just kind of share ideas, mastermind-like. But then you want to have somebody that's over you, somebody who is not impressed by anything you do. You could win an Emmy or Grammy and then press because they're still trying to critique whatever it is you do. You could be Employee of the Year. Your business could enter into, you know, Fortune 500, and they still have critiques because their job is not to be a peer, nor is their job to hear your best idea. Their job is to make you better. And you raise your lid when you aren't offended by people who want to make you better. Most of the time, we want people to pat us on the back and tell us how good we're doing and celebrate us, give us a certificate, you know, win the watch or get the ring, get the medallion. But everybody needs somebody who just says, this is where you could be better. The fifth thing is you have to do something that's beyond yourself. If you always limit what you do to what you have, then you'll never go farther than you are. I know it sounds real cliche, but it's just true. If you always limit what you do to what you have, you'll never get more, you'll never travel farther than where you are. And so the idea is at some point, you got to believe, take a risk, and step out and do something that might be beyond what you have financially. It might be beyond the manpower that you have. It might be different than anything anybody in your organization, your company, or ministry has ever done. Because, again, your lid is only as high as you reach. The one time that you try to go above your lid, it doesn't cause you to go out of the box. What it actually does is lift your lid higher. At some point, you got to go out there. You got to try it. Not to mention the fact that you keep thinking about it, you keep dreaming about it, you keep envisioning it. So by virtue of the fact you can see it or envision it, then at some point, you've got to try to satisfy this yearning or desire for better, for greater, for farther, for more, or for different. There is no reward if there is no risk. At some point, you got to go beyond yourself. What happens when you stretch beyond yourself, your finances, when you stretch beyond what is your personnel, the people you have, it causes you to have to connect with other people. And as you connect with other people, you will automatically begin to lift your lid. Number six, reflect on who has been a lid lifter in your life and what characteristics make them a lid lifter. Again, when we talk about having mentors, coaches, you got to figure out who in your life already speaks to help make you better. Who is it that sees you and says, hey, you could have done better than that. That was good, but why don't you try something different? You need that person in your life. Number seven is make a stop doing list. Most of the time when we try to do better, go farther, do more, we write down everything we want to do. But a lot of times your ability to go farther, get more, do better is really in just eliminating some stuff that's already on your plate. Try to stop doing something. Use your time a little more wisely. Spend a little less. Allow people to do some things that you could do but don't have to do so that you can have more time doing the things that you're supposed to do. It's the age-old idea that if you cut off some things, other things automatically grow. You know, I bore you with the example, but that's just how it works. My wife has this rose tree at the house, and it's a rose tree because I got it for her. That's my boo, right? So I get her this rose tree, and it blooms these beautiful pink roses because that's her color. So I get her these pink roses. Roses look good for like 2 days, maybe three. And then they start to wither because they're outside. I don't have a green thumb. I don't have green, brown, black. I don't have any kind of thumb that's got anything to do with growing anything. But somebody says, you just got to cut them off. And in my mind, I'm like, why would I cut off something that just grew? And the answer is simple, because after it grows, it dies. And the only way something new can grow is if you cut off what's already there. So sure enough, I snip it. And I don't snip it like at the top. Like, I cut it real low. The lower I cut it, the thicker it grew back, and again, it blossomed. I know it's an age-old idea. We hear it all the time. But maybe what's stopping you from going farther, doing more, or maybe what's stopping your business from being better or you becoming better at what you do, it's not in your inability to do things. It's in your inability to stop doing some things that are already there. Just cut some things out. And as you cut things out, you'll see other things start to grow. Page four for us talks about the idea of McDonald's. I'm not sure how many of you guys know about McDonald's. I was talking about it a little earlier when I had the phone muted. But one of the things that happens with McDonald Brothers that's really interesting is the McDonald's brothers purchased their business from this other group of guys who had a burger business. It's a crazy story. So they had a burger business that was going under. And so what they decided to do was sell. They sold their business to the McDonald brothers. The McDonald brothers took the very same business that they had with no more money than they had, and turned that business into what you know now is a multi-billion-dollar franchise. One of the other things you probably want to know about McDonald's is that McDonald's business is not burgers. McDonald's business is not fries. McDonald's is a real estate company. They pride themselves on owning land. It's important because whenever you talk about lifting your lid, one of the things you realize is that your lid rises, again, when you are able to connect with other people in other genres of life. So the McDonald's brothers took over this business where a guy was selling burgers and said, hey, we'll just use burgers and fries as a way to gain property. So now when you look at McDonald's, you order your burger, your fries, milkshake now. They even had those real good smoothies I like. It's not even about the food. When I see McDonald's now, I look at how many are in one city because McDonald's goal is really to take over land. They know that land, real estate, is one place where money is always growing. And so what they did was they maximized the profit in burgers and fries really by maximizing the land that they have. So every empty lot that comes available, McDonald's is looking for it. And the way they make having the land valuable is selling you burgers and fries, which, by the way, is why they never boast they have the best burgers or the best fries. They never talk about how high quality the meat is because that's not their concern. Their concern is having the land. And for us, you know, the question has to be, you know, what other things can I do with my business, organization, or ministry to complement it so that when people come for the burgers and fries, I'm also able to maximize their coming to get something else, right? So maybe you're in real estate, maybe you're working with kids, maybe you're doing ministry. Realize that you don't have to have one sole stream of either income or focus. When you learn how to lift your lid, you'll be able to connect with people in such a way where you can be doing one thing, you know, one day, but also recouping benefits on another side if you're able to connect with the right people. McDonald's, they didn't know anything. They didn't know burgers and fries. They knew real estate. So they used burgers and fries to help maximize their real estate business. So, you know, your homework is to find some other businesses that have done that because it helps them maximize their potential. When you get some time after our conversation tonight, describe a time in your life when you were stuck and someone or something challenged you to look at the situation differently. That's what caused the McDonald's company to come into being. And just as an aside, the guy, again, Paul Martinelli, who started this John Maxwell thing, he was actually a janitor. He had his own janitorial business. John Maxwell just happened to be speaking in one of the buildings that he was cleaning up, and he paid John Maxwell for an hour of his time, sat down with him at lunch, presented this idea of starting a coaching network where John Maxwell could actually teach and train other coaches. As a result, Paul Martinelli in 6 months turned in his custodial license and stopped doing custodial work and was a self-proclaimed millionaire because he had tapped in to this new business. I'm just saying to each of you that you can lift your lid when you decide to start looking at where you are differently. Questions you ask yourself is, could you grow your leadership ability by just 1% per week? Which is really, can you connect with somebody who is not like you and learn from them? If you can do that, then you can definitely adjust it by 1%. As a coach or trainer, as a teacher, as a leader, will you begin listening to people and not talking as much? You probably heard it. I don't know if it's true or not, but you definitely do have two ears, one mouth. Maybe that means something, maybe it doesn't. But what I do know is that you never learn anything speaking because all you're doing is saying what you know. But you always learn something listening. And sometimes as leaders, we feel that it's always our place to speak and to tell, to direct, and to manage, when many times your lead can grow by listening to what other people think and what other people have the ability to do. Page 5 is just kind of homework that you can kind of carry out. Again, that's something we would do with the on-site training online and on the conference call, something we look over. Let me just kind of pause here for a moment. Are there any questions? Anybody have any questions or comments? Questions or comments? Everybody still there?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. That's good. Okay. Our second law is the law of influence. And this time I want to go through the sheet first. It's about 8:44. And one of the things I want to be really intentional about is keeping this exactly to an hour to manage everybody's time. So if you look at page 6 on your worksheet, we talk about the law of influence. First thing I want to do is just kind of go through each one of these, fill in all of the blanks so that you have those, and then I kind of go back and explain some. Leadership is not a title, a position, power, or stature. We're talking about number 2, the law of influence. And you have to know that leadership is not a title, leadership is not a position, leadership is not power. Leadership, it is influence, nothing more or nothing less. Now, it's not influence where you coerce people or influence where you abuse or misuse. Leadership is the fact that at any given moment you can make a call to a person or a friend or an associate and things can happen because you've built relationship and rapport with them. That's leadership. Leadership is you being able to help out person A because you know person C, D, E, and F. And your relationship with them has been built so well that you could call in a favor that would cost somebody else thousands, millions. But because you have influence, you're able now to provide leadership to person A. So there are five influence myths that we want to kind of dispel. First, there's the management myth. Management myth is the idea that leading and managing are one and the same. The management myth is the idea that leading and management are one and the same. Here's the difference between leading and management. Managing is how you handle what you already have. Managing is how you handle what you already have. So if you got $20, you don't get more. You just figure out how to handle the $20. Leadership is your ability to synergize everything around you to make more of what you have. A little bit different. Management is I'm doing the best with what I have been given. I manage it. Leadership is your ability to influence everything and everyone around you so that you make more of what you have. So managing is we're making the best out of the $20. Leadership is finding 20 people with $20. It changes everything. And you do that because you have influence. The second myth is the entrepreneur myth. The second myth is the entrepreneur myth. Entrepreneurs are skilled at seeing opportunities and going after them. A lot of times, you know, people think entrepreneurs are people who have a lot of money. Or entrepreneurs are people who start businesses and, you know, they're really business savvy. But really, what entrepreneurs are good at is seeing things that didn't work for you and making it work for them. An entrepreneur sees a problem and turns it into a business. And an entrepreneur will walk into a city that has just been hit by a storm and not see the devastation, but the entrepreneur looks at all of the buildings that have been torn down and says, I'm getting ready to start a construction and landscaping business because at some point all of these buildings are going to need help. It's probably that story that many of you heard about the guy who sells shoes, right? So there's a shoe salesman. He's sent over into a third world country. He gets to the third world country. He lands, and after he lands, he calls back home frustrated and upset with his boss, you know, complaining, saying, why'd y'all send me out here? Yeah, y'all send me out here to sell shoes. Nobody out here even wears shoes. Give me the first flight back home. So he flies back home. They send out another guy, same company, sends out another shoe salesman. Shoe salesman lands into the same location. He looks around and calls back home excited. Saying, you're not going to believe this. We're getting ready to be billionaires. Send me some shoes because nobody in this village wears shoes. Same situation. The only difference was the entrepreneur looks at an opportunity and doesn't look at discouragement. I see people with no shoes. That either means I can't do it. I see people with no shoes, and I see an opportunity to give everybody a pair of shoes. And a question for you, you know, as a business owner, a ministry leader, in your personal life is what are you really going to make of what has happened? Is it going to be devastating? Was it bad? Was the loss really going to cause you to lie down? Or are you going to become entrepreneurial, use your leadership influence, and find an opportunity? The third law, the third myth, I'm sorry, is the myth of knowledge. It's the knowledge myth. And that myth says knowing what to do and influencing others to do it take different skill sets. Knowing what to do and influencing others to do it take different skill sets. And that's true, because most people think that if you know it, then you got it. But I think all of us can kind of agree that just because you know something doesn't mean you can teach it, and it definitely doesn't mean you can get people to do it. Influence is not just knowing. Influence is your ability to create some type of viral effect where what you know, everybody wants to know it. What you do, everybody wants to learn it. What you do, people want to follow you just to see you do it. So there's a gap between what you know and getting other people to do it. You got to fill that gap, and influence is the way you fill that gap. Myth number four is the pioneer myth. The pioneer myth is you can get there first, but if no one follows you, you are not a leader. And so, you know, a lot of people pride themselves on, I was the first person to do it, or our organization was the first organization to get it done, or we were innovative, we are cutting edge. Maybe. Being first doesn't make you a leader. Being first doesn't mean you have influence. You know you are a leader and influential when other businesses and organizations start doing what you've done. Now, let me say this. Here's the key to that. Because a lot of times, you know, I've seen it particularly with churches. I've seen it with businesses where a person will do something that they thought was new, it was innovative, it was creative, and then some other church or organization or business will do the same thing. And then the person who did it first get upset. You know, they kind of take credit for it. Like, I did that first, and, you know, people would go to court over that. I have the rights to that. You can't do what I did. Here's the key. If you have real influence and are a good leader, one, you should take pride in the fact that people are copying your ideas. And then two, understand that if people are copying your last idea, you just got to be both, you have to be creative enough to come up with a new one. I think John talked about in one of his speeches that the only person who gets upset with someone taking their ideas, using their messages, or taking their business schemes is the person who doesn't have the creative ability to create to something else. And you know that you are influential when people, organizations, and businesses start duplicating and copying what you've already done. Don't get upset. Don't get angry. You just come up with something else, because it proves that you are both influential and that you are a leader. Number five is the position myth. If I have a title or position, people will follow me. That's obviously not the case. Respect has to be earned. Respect is not just given because you have a title, but there really has to be, you know, something about what you do. One of the things I talk about at our church is I'm not as concerned about what they call you as I am what you do. So, you know, when we meet people and they say, well, I'm a deacon, I'm an elder, that's fine. Titles change all over the place. The question I have for you is, what is it that you do? One, you want to ask that about your organization, about your business. Then maybe for you, maybe you ought to ask that for yourself. You know, what is it that you actually do? Not what they call you, not what position you have. Now, understand, position is a great thing. Having a title is not a bad thing. Matter of fact, later on we'll talk about how you being connected to people who have titles may actually help, you know, raise your lid and increase your leadership influence. But understand that just because you have a title doesn't automatically make you a leader. Just because you have a title doesn't mean you have influence. There still has to be both rapport built, there has to be some lid lifting, and most importantly, you have to be intentional about connecting with other people. Okay. All right. We got about 8 minutes left. What I'd like to do is just finish up the blank for page 7. Not going to talk about it, I'm just going to fill them out. And then via email in our next Monday conversation, we'll kind of talk about it some more. And we'll also do law 3. Here are 7 factors of leadership. Character, that's who you are. Relationships, that's who do you know. Character is who you are. relationships, that's who do you know, knowledge, that's what do you know, knowledge is what do you know, intuition is what do you feel, intuition is what do you feel, experience, where have you been? Experiences, where have you been? Past success is what have you done? What have you actually accomplished? What have you done? And then seven is the ability, what can you do? If you go back and ask yourself those questions, then what it does, it kind of gives you a grip on how much influence you have. Characters, who you are, relationships, who do you know, knowledge, what do you know, intuition, is what do you feel, experience, where have you been, past success, what have you done, and then ability, what can you do? Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. You want to lead from a no-leverage position. This is the idea that A is you have to volunteer organizations, and B, you got to learn how to lead your peers. Everybody kind of knows how to lead people who are under them, younger than them, not as experienced. But real influence is your ability to lead people your age with your experience, or people who have more experience and people that are older. That's a nice lesson. It's a nice lesson for us is that of understanding the law of the lid. You got to figure out how to grow your potential. But then secondly, the idea is really tapping into influence, because that's what leadership is. Leadership is your ability to get people to follow, to get people to do things they haven't done, to get people to think that they really have more within them. I hope tonight has been helpful. One of the things that we'll pick up on Monday is this third law. John Maxwell, we have a short John Maxwell clip on that. Just as a way of announcements, on July 13th, actually we're going to do it in Franklin. We are going to have an assessment day where we'll have a day of personality assessments. And so one, we'll just talk about all the different personalities that exist according to Myers-Briggs and to psychological DISC testing. And then at the end of all the teaching, you'll actually be able to take a test where you'll get to find out what your personality is. And for many of you, it can be your personality tied in with your spiritual gifts. Again, that's July 13th. If you're interested, that's on the website. Take a look at that. If you haven't received it yet, before the end of the week, you should receive, if you're on Facebook, you should receive an invitation to join the CMI Leadership Coaching Facebook group. In that group, it's one is private, so it's only the people that are signed up in the mastermind. And that's where we want to start kind of asking questions. And so from our teaching, we want to start asking questions. From some of the worksheets you have, you want to start asking questions. You can start kind of posting questions just about your business, about your organization. We want you to tell us what you have going on, what you're doing, because, again, with the idea of lifting your lid, people may have some ideas or some insight into some of the things you're trying. And so we really want to just kind of start creating some conversation for those who are on Facebook in that group. So, one, you know, you get to know each other. Two, you get some ideas. And then three, you get some of your questions answered. Again, thank everybody for calling in tonight. I want to thank Pastor Rawlins for giving us that financial tip. He'll be leading us with some other financial resources later on as we start with our Dave Ramsey in July. And again, I hope everybody has a great night. Tonight has been recorded, and I'm going to cut the recording off just so that we can all exit just by saying good night to each other. And again, thank everybody for calling in.